Genesis chapter 44, Genesis chapter 44. We preached on Genesis 43 on Sunday, traveling through this book together. We've come in our Bible study and through this book to Genesis chapter 44. Just going to read one verse of Scripture to get our text from, verse number 16. God willing, I'll get through this entire message tonight, preaching on this whole chapter. Genesis chapter number 44, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord?" He's speaking to Joseph here, not knowing who it is. "What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found." Tonight I want to preach to you on this subject. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in this service. Thank you for your watch care over our lives. Thank you for protection, your grace and mercy and love. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray as I stand before these precious people, I pray that my heart is right. If there's anything in my life that hinders you, forgive me, remove it, get it out. May everything that's said be pleasing to you. May not one thing displeasing to you be said, I pray, even the spirit in which it's given, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this chapter, we're reminded of how God used a famine to back Jacob into a corner where he would either hold on to Benjamin and condemn his family to starvation, or he would turn loose of Benjamin and cast himself upon the Lord. Now, we preached on this Sunday. You can go back and get it. That's in chapter 43. We see that Jacob did the right thing, and he surrendered Benjamin and cast himself completely upon Almighty God. Now, when the boys came back into Egypt, the sons, Joseph brought them to his house where he talked with them there, and he reunited them with Simeon, who was in prison. And he feasted them to the point that they were merry with him during a horrible famine. Things were going so well for these brothers. However, we see that as this chapter unfolds, and we'll read really all of it, I guess, most of it, maybe all of it. We see these brothers, especially Judah, is brought to the point where he's had all he can take. Enough has truly been enough in Judah's life and the life of these brothers. In other words, they couldn't take it any longer. The guilt had just overcome their life. Their sin was chasing them everywhere they went. And this being the case, I want to look at this story together, and we're talking about enough is enough. I want to give you some thoughts here. Number one, when we think about this story, enough is enough. Number one, I want you to see the cup. I want you to see the cup. You say, what in the world does that mean? Look at verse number one. "And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest," that's Benjamin, "and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. When they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, Up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, opened every man his sack, and he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, laded every man his ass, and returned to the city." See, we see in these verses how Joseph commanded his steward to fill his brother's sacks with food as much as they can carry. Take their money, put it back in their sacks as well. However, Joseph told his servant to do something else along with that. He said, I want you to take my silver cup. See, that was his symbol of authority, you see, in his house. And he said, I want you to hide it in Benjamin's sack, the youngest brother, my brother. These men were sent away as the morning light came. And we can only imagine how excited they must have been. How enthused they must have been. Because, see, when they went back to Egypt, they didn't know what they were going to be met with. But Joseph brought them home, you see. He fed them. He took care of them. He gave them Simeon back. And now they are on their way back home. And they are, I mean, they're going back home with all the food they can carry. With their money back in their sacks. Simeon's back with them. Benjamin's fine. I mean, things are going great, my friends. This is what happens. And here's what I'm saying to you. When they were gone out of the city, Joseph told his steward to go after them, to overtake them. And when he gets to them, to ask them why they had taken Joseph's silver cup. These men had no idea what the steward was even talking about. They were so confident that they were not guilty that they said, and I quote, with whomsoever of thy servants it be found, let him die. That's what they said. They were so confident about this. And they hurriedly took their sacks and put them on the ground, and they opened them, and the steward came. Now, the steward was the one who did it, friends. He knew what was going on. The steward searched their sacks from the oldest all the way to the youngest. Can you imagine when every one of their bags, they couldn't find it, but now it came to the son that the daddy said don't come home without him. It comes to his turn and they open it and the Bible says the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Oh no. Oh, what horror must have taken hold of their heart. The Bible says at that time they rent their clothes. By the way, I've studied that, and according to my study, when they rent their clothes, they tore their clothes, it was their way of showing deep sorrow that knows no remedy. In other words, we are guilty and there's nothing we can say about it. The Bible says when they rent their clothes, they as a family, by the way, something's changing in these boys here, friends. Hey, they weren't going to send Benjamin back into Egypt as a slave by himself like they did with Joseph. They all got back on their animals, and as a family, they are traveling back to Egypt. It's interesting here that what had happened was an unexpected trial that had hit their life. They didn't see this coming from anywhere. Here's what I'm saying. God was at work bringing these brothers to the end of themselves. That's what he was doing here. One man put it this way, Joseph could have had anything of his put into Benjamin's sack, but instead he used the cup, and for good reason. Because the cup was used to divine with. Verse number 5 tells us that. That is, it was used to find out information otherwise not obtainable by normal means. Now, heathen people would use this cup superstitiously, much like a fortune teller would use their crystal ball. Now, we know Joseph is not using this cup like a fortune teller, but I think it's very interesting that he had his cup that they used to divine with. In other words, to bring to light things that should not be known, you see. He used that to bring them back to Egypt. See, he was using the cup, if you will, to find out if his brothers had changed. And I'm telling you, Joseph is in the process of majorly testing his brothers here. I don't know if you see that or not, but that's exactly what he's doing. See, the fact of the matter is this. God can use anything he wants to get our attention and speak to our hearts. Friends, he used a bush in Moses' life. He used a donkey in Balaam's life. He used a rooster in Peter's life. And he is using a cup here in Joseph's brothers' lives. Let me tell you something. When folks are running from God, God can use anything he wants to grab our attention. He really can. Let me ask you tonight, before we move on, what will it take to get our attention? God desires for those who have unconfessed sin in their life. Now, I trust that you've come in here tonight and your heart is right. There's nothing between you and Jesus, but you know as well as I do, even if you're as right as you possibly can be, you know how often sin tries to sneak into your life. So I'm preaching to folks who have unconfessed sin in their life. These brothers were guilty of what they did to Joseph over 20 years ago, and they have still not confessed it that we're aware of. And we see that just a silver cup, God is using it to bring them to the point where they throw their hands up and say, enough is enough. Friends, God desires for those who have unconfessed sin in their lives to come clean before Him. At times, He uses unusual methods to get a hold of His children's heart who have unconfessed sin in their life. Number one, we notice the cup. Number two, let's notice the confession. We see this in verse number 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, plural. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. See, after these men saw the cup in Benjamin's sack, they all got back on their animals and made the trip back to Egypt. When they got there, they went back to Joseph's house, where Joseph still was. And when these brothers saw Joseph, the Bible says they fell down before him on the ground. Do you see him laying out right there, friends? Joseph continued to deal with them. He continued to push the button with them. He's bringing them to the end of themselves, and he asked them, what deed is this that ye have done? One of the brothers named Judah. Interesting that Judah takes front scene in this chapter, friends. Judah steps up to the scene here, and he says, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God hath found out our iniquity. Spurgeon put it this way, though innocent of the present charge, he didn't take the cup, but though innocent of the present charge, Judah confesses that their sad plight was well deserved by other sins. See, another person put it this way, whether we're guilty of this fact or not, in other words, talking about this story, he's saying what Judah's saying is whether we're guilty of this fact or not, we are certainly guilty of many other sins for which God is now punishing us, to whose providence we therefore willingly submit. The point is these brothers are standing before the Lord of the land with his cup among them. The point is there was no excuses. They stood guilty before the Lord of the land. They must be completely humbled before, now get this. We know in the next chapter, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we know in the next chapter is when Joseph reveals himself. Let me give you a powerful thought God gave me here. Before Joseph would reveal himself, they must be completely clean. They must be humble before him. They must be prostrate before him. They must be clean before him. Their heart must be right before him before Joseph ever says, I am Joseph. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, friends. Listen to me. Instead of trying to hold up a front before the Lord, they confess that they are guilty. And even if they were not guilty of this particular sin, they were certainly guilty of others, such as selling Joseph many years ago. See, when you read verse number 16, that's where I got my title from, because what Judah is basically saying is, I can't take anymore. I can't do this anymore. I'm finished. See, we saw in the previous chapter, Jacob came to the same point about a prized possession that he was holding on to. In this chapter, Judah is brought to the same place about an unconfessed sin in his life. And we see that Judah's come to the point to where he realizes, I can't go on like this. Enough is enough. They could not run from their guilt any longer. God was dealing with these brothers. But especially he was dealing with Judah. Until he had enough. And he waved the white flag of surrender. He could not take the guilt any longer. He was coming clean. One person put it this way, and I quote, there could be no settled or real fellowship between Joseph and his brethren until the wrong had been righted. There could be no communion of heart until full confession of guilt had been made. This is the goal God has in view. He desires to bring us into fellowship with himself, but he is holy and sin must be confessed and put away before we can be reconciled to him. Another man put it this way, not till he ceases to vindicate himself, not till he comes out into the light, not till he owns he is guilty and unable to clear himself, can he be blessed? As someone said it this way, when the time is right, he, God, will touch all the right buttons to humble us and bring us to the place of repentance. Here's how God's speaking to me here. Right here, right now, as I'm preaching to you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I want to have sweet communion with Jesus. I want to be in so close fellowship with him that he is comfortable to reveal himself more to me. Do you not have that same desire, friends? I don't think you'd be in Wednesday night church if you didn't have that desire to be drawn closer to Jesus. I'm telling you, having unconfessed sin in our life is not worth it. Because when we have unconfessed sin in our life, Jesus Christ will not reveal himself like he desires to. This is the thought here. Enough is enough. God has brought me to the end of myself. I'm through running. Because I realize now everywhere I go, it's following me. It's right behind my footsteps. I've had enough. The cup, God used it to bring him to this point. The confession, Judah steps up and speaks for all of them and says, how can we clear ourselves here? We're guilty. We're all your servants. Number three, let me not only give you the cup and the confession, but number three, let me show you the change. Look at verse number 16. Now I'm picking up verse 17, but let's go back and get 16 so we can get the full thought of it here. The latter part of this verse, Judah is speaking, he's saying this, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Notice what Joseph does here. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, that's Benjamin, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Pause. Stop right there just a moment. Go back over 20 years ago, and they are willingly selling their brother Joseph into Egyptian bondage. And they love to see him go bye-bye, and as soon as he's out of the way, they hightail it back home. Now, the youngest favored son is with them again. Not Joseph, but Benjamin. Could it be that Joseph is trying to protect his brother from these potential wicked brothers? Joseph says, I'm not taking all of you. All of you can go home. I'm just going to keep this one because he's the one that has the cup. What will they do? Look at verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let thine anger burn, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead. See, they're talking to that brother who they think is dead. But they say his brother Joseph is dead. No, he's not. He's listening to them. And he alone is left of his mother. His father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. We said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. But we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. The one went out from me, and I said, Surely he's torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him. Ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Notice closely verse 33. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant, him, himself, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. I don't know if you see what I see, but I see a great change in Judah. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Joseph told these brothers that only Benjamin would stay as his slave while the rest could go back home. At this point, if these brothers had not changed, they would have tipped their hat and gotten out of there as quickly as possible. However, notice what happened. Judah came near. Unto Joseph, the Lord of the land, and he begged for permission to speak. He shared with Joseph how their father was wrapped up in this son named Benjamin. Oh, can't you just imagine how Joseph's heart must have been flooding with memories? He told him how his father believed that Joseph was dead and how Benjamin was now the favored son. Judah continued to say how if he returns to their father without Benjamin, that it would crush their father and send him to an early grave. Then it happened. It happened. What Joseph had been waiting on. Judah said this, I beg you, let me take his place. Keep me and let my brother go home. Glory. I'm telling you, Judah had come to the end of the line and is now offering to become a slave in the place of the favored son. Judah realizes with this, get this, friends, Judah has a family back home. And he realizes that he is offering himself to never see his family again. He proceeded to speak about how concerned he is for his daddy. There was no hint of that 20 years ago when they sold Joseph. Excuse me, they didn't give one flying rip about their daddy over 20 years ago. But God has been working on them. God has been squeezing them tightly. And He's been bringing them to a place where they have to say, I can't take this anymore. Here's the interesting thing. Judah is the brother who concocted the plan to sell Joseph. Did you hear what I just said? Judah's the one that stepped up and said, let's sell him as a slave. Chapter 37, verses 26 and 27. Judah, along with the others, had no concern about their father's feelings concerning Joseph. However, something has changed. Get this. Judah had led the way to sell Joseph. Now he's leading the way to save Benjamin. The King James Version Life Application Study Bible puts it this way. The man who had sold one favored little brother into slavery now offered to become a slave himself to save another favored little brother. Here's what I'm saying. Judah was now a broken man. Judah was now a man with a humble heart. God had brought him to his wit's end. One man put it this way, if they were still evil men, they would offer no genuine protest over Benjamin's arrest and sentence because, see, he was the favored son back at home just like Joseph was. If they had not changed, their envious hearts would be secretly glad at Benjamin's misfortune. And with vindictive passiveness, they would let Benjamin be taken into slavery in Egypt just as they let Joseph go to Egypt to slavery. The point is, we see a wonderful change. Wonderful change. You say, Jody, what's the point of this? There's so many points to this. God can use broken things. God can use those who have kicked the traces. But oh, there's nothing to apply it to our Lord Himself. It's so interesting to me that the one brother who took the lead was not the oldest. He was not the next. But he was the brother named Judah. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that the tribe of Judah is the tribe that Jesus came through. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, He is coming from the tribe of Judah. And just as Judah was willing to become a slave in order to set Benjamin free, even so, our Lord Jesus Christ became a substitute for our sin, so that you and I could be free. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, Jesus became flesh and blood. That through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, Judah wasn't guilty of this silver cup, but he's willing to bear the blame for it. And out of that same tribe came the Christ child, who's been guilty of nothing. And he did bear our blame. And just like Judah was trying to set Benjamin free, Jesus Christ took our place so that we might be free. Let me conclude this by trying to apply it in some ways here. I've already done this. Let me just go back and tap it on the head. Judah's the one who not only came up with the plan to sell Joseph, but Judah's the one who had a child with his own daughter-in-law, Tamar, whom he thought was a harlot. And he went out in unto her, and she conceived. This is the same Judah that has changed when we come to chapter 44. And I'd like to apply this way here. God is able to use those who mess up. I may be listening to somebody right now, and in your own heart, you have messed up. I'm talking about you've kicked the traces. It could be a hard attitude, it could be whatever. Take rest in this, my friend. God is in the habit of putting a silver cup in your sack. He's in the habit of reminding you of things until you come clean with Him. And I promise you that He knows, if you don't confess now, He knows how to back you up into a corner, friends. And He knows how to make it to where you will throw your hands up and say, I am guilty. But I want to say this to you. When you come clean, He can hit a pretty good lick, as Preacher Lashley says, with a crooked stick. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for clean people. He's looking for holy people. Let me tell you why we preach the holy life here. Because we need God, friends. Hey, the holy life is not dressing a certain way, acting a certain way. The holy life is getting close to Jesus and letting Him tell you everything to do. See, you can dress the part. You can be the most modest person on planet Earth, and your heart could be as black as any sin could possibly be. See, your standards should grow out of your holiness. You shouldn't play the part to look the part. You ought to be the part and let the part take care of itself. You show me somebody who kicks up against holy standards. By the way, I'm not telling you any of them. So if somebody gets upset here, God's putting a cup in your pack here, friends. You show me somebody that bucks up against holy standards, whether it be personal standards, music standards, whatever it is. You show me somebody that bucks up against holiness, I'll show you somebody whose heart's not right with God. God can use people who mess up. Secondly, you may be listening to this message and be guilty of something that you cannot run away from. I don't understand how human beings feel like they can hide their sin from God. He knows all about it. And even if you're clean tonight, thank God for that. Praise God for that. You know what this message does for you? It sounds a warning signal. If your heart is right, wonderful. Let this message be a warning to you. Don't force God to use a silver cup. Confess to Him now and be done with it. Be done with it. Or maybe you're listening to in this service, might even be listening live, and you're not sure that you are a child of God. Let me admonish you to see how the Lord Jesus Christ died in your place. And if you will trust Him as your Savior, Him and Him alone, He will forgive you, set you free, and give you heaven for all eternity. You can't beat a deal like that, friends. So I ask you, Have you had enough? Has God brought you to this service and in your heart you know there's something not right? And you've been running. And God has taken this same silver cup and said, listen, if I can use a cup in his life, I know what it'll take to get your attention to. You say, you're trying to scare me? If that's what it takes. I don't mind to scare people. Because I know God has a great plan for all of our lives. He cannot use us the way he wants to. Listen, chapter 45, Joseph reveals himself. Joseph is a picture of Jesus Christ. There would be no chapter 45 without chapter 44. You with me? Do you want to get to chapter 45 in your life? Where the Lord reveals himself? Many times you have to travel through chapter 44 to get there. Join the crowd, friends. I can't tell you how often I get on my face and I say, God, please forgive me for that. I messed up. Please cleanse me. You know what he does? He forgives me. He cleanses me. And he comes a little bit closer to me. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Spirit here tonight. And I just want to tell God that I love him. I need you, God. So do you. Let us stop running and say, God, enough's enough. I'm finished. Keep me clean. Help me be right. Go forward for Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for this night. Thank you for this service. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the power of your word. Use us in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're going to begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. I have three questions right here. Actually, two questions and then just a statement. Number one, are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus? If you don't, come let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Number two, is there something right now that you cannot run away from? Is there something right now that you need to confess to God? Hey, it doesn't have to be anything big. It can be small in the world's eyes. It can be an attitude. It can be something very minute to other human beings. But if it stands between you and God, chapter 45 will never take place in your life. Statement. If you've messed up, God's in the business of making the clay over again. Let me say this to you. I want you to look this way just a moment. I'm going a little bit longer here, not time-wise. I'm talking about what I said with the invitation. Forgive me, but when we were down in Chile, Jason Holt took us to one of these old-timey pottery places where I'm talking about they would spin the wheel with their foot like this, and they would mold this pottery. One of our girls was making something and it kind of collapsed on her. Well, the master potter was walking around trying to help people. And he saw this happen, or it was brought to his attention. Was that you that did that? I think it was, wasn't it? Yes. I remember. See, I've got a terrible memory, but I remember things like that. Maybe you remember this. He came over to what had collapsed in her hand. And he began to spin the wheel. And he took his hands, and out of what was left, he made a beautiful little pot out of it. Boy, God speaks to me right there. There are people today who've thrown a lot of clay away in their life. There are people who feel like their lives sometimes just crash in on them. And the devil says, enough's enough. Give in. God says, I've got you right where I want you now. Enough is enough, yes. But for you, will you give it to me now? Let me show you what I can do with what's left. Don't throw in the towel, friends. Give the rest to God. God can do something amazing with what He has in His hands. This is the message. May God use it. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought and use it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you right now, as Brother Gary sings, you leave your place and come. Would you do
that? Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between, nothing between.
Father, help us, I pray tonight, to be more like Jesus as a result of this service. I pray you help me and help all of God's children to keep short accounts with you. And as soon as we step out of line and you convict us, help us right then, right there, to confess that sin and ask you to cleanse our heart. We know we're not getting saved again, but we're just staying clean, being useful in the hand of our great God. Use us, I pray. Bless now, I beg. We love you. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to see the deacons just for one moment. If you'll come up here just a moment, the deacons just for one moment, please. God bless you. Please shake each other's hands. Thank each other for coming. All of this. Deacons, if you'll come this way just a moment here, please.